Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, a voyage of the space cruiser Argo. To exist is to struggle, to fight for food, for land, and to secure such for our children who follow us. To live is to know conflict from the beginning hour until our light fades from all creation. At some point in the life of a people, the nobility of intellect may assert itself and bring an end to such hostility. For some, however, the path is less certain. For some, the nobility of intellect is replaced by the nobility of power, and from that moment onward, the struggle is not a requirement, it is a purpose. In the year 2212, the Earth was conquered by the Comet Empire. After 5 years of enslavement, the Empire sent a massive fleet to our homeworld with the purpose of destroying all life on Earth. It was defeated by the efforts of the only surviving Earth battleship, the Argo. Having spent itself in the battle, the Star Force was then snared by General Garan, commander of all Comet Empire forces in the Milky Way galaxy. But they were saved by the timely intervention of a combined fleet of Galman and Free mercenary vessels under the command of the space pirate Captain Harlock of the Arcadia. Now, the captain of the Star Force, Derek Wildstar, meets aboard the Argo with Harlock and his enemy-turned-friend, the Emperor of Galman, Deslok.
And so, Wildstar, the Empire finally drove me from Galmania. I gathered what forces I could and, employing the rather unique technology of our Galman subspace drives, hid us all within a pocket of subspace.
It was a stroke of genius. The Comet Empire has nothing that can detect a subspace pocket. As such, we could simply wait them out and strike when it was most advantageous.
I see. So, forgive me, Captain Harlock, but how did you come to be employed by the Galman Empire?
I could not engage the Imperial forces occupying Earth. To do so would have caused another escalation.
Great Island's destruction all over again. That's why we didn't launch the Argo sooner.
Indeed, but the Galmans had been fighting the Empire for much longer than Earth had. I believe that Emperor Demorta has a personal grudge against you, Deslok.
I betrayed his son, in his mind at least. Demorta is nothing if not doggedly determined. I can see the question in your eyes, Derek Wildstar. Ask it, and let it be out in the open, at least.
Why, Deslok? Why did you come to our aid now instead of when the Empire first returned?
Ah, I thought that was it, my friend. The simple answer is, I could not. Remember, the Galman fleets were depleted after wars with the Bolar Federation and the devastation brought about by the Great Collision. By the time we had sufficient ships mustered to stop the Comet Empire's advance, Earth had fallen and we ourselves were threatened. In your solar system, Jar Mortar spread his influence over half the Milky Way. The armada that conquered you soon descended on my doorstep. We've been fighting them ever since, at terrible cost. Empire has taken Galmania and killed millions of my people. I gathered what forces I could, and...
You told me once that a as long as you lived, your home would live. That is still true.
Thank you, my friend. That is good of you to say.
The ships we led here are only about a quarter of the remaining Gulmon military. The rest are scattered in subspace pockets around the galaxy.
I could not come to your aid when we received your signal. General Garen's forces had me completely surrounded, but we were hidden by the subspace field our engines were generating. Had we communicated with you, we would have given our position away.
I see. What changed?
Our good pirate here brought me word that Garen's fleet was withdrawing, that their pickets were weak in certain zones. We left our shelter and punched a hole straight through to your rescue.
Earth is my world, too. I will not abandon her. But my news is not merely for Emperor Deathlock, but you as well, Wildstar. Jamorta himself is on the move.
What?
The Comet Fortresses, Wildstar. Four massive world ships, of which Zordar's was the least. And they are all coming here.
But what in space for? If the Scourge Fleet had been successful, Earth would have been sterilized. What more would they do to it?
I do not know why exactly. All I know is that the Imperial Church seems to be directly behind it. The Scourge fleet was commanded by their highest-ranking cleric, Anshin. They want the Earth obliterated.
Well then, that's convenient. We have a high-echelon Empire priest cooling his heels in our brig.
Argo, Shuttle 1 to Arcadia Control. Request permission to land. I need to talk to one of your bridge officers. I think I may know him.
Give me a sec here. Okay, come aboard. Second mate will meet you in the bay.
Roger, Arcadia. Coming aboard.
Hey! Careful!
Well, then stay out of my way.
Maybe this wasn't the best idea.
Michael?
Thomas? It was you!
My God, little brother. When I heard you requesting permission to land...
I heard you on Arcadia's bridge during the battle. I wasn't sure if it was you or not. We all thought you were dead.
Yeah, come on, I'll tell you all about it. Let's head for my cabin. You there, look lively! Captain wants this bay in order before he gets back.
Aye, second mate.
Second mate, huh? Something tells me this is one heck of a story.
In the Argo's hangar bay, feverish work is underway. Repairs must be made to damaged fighter craft, and the weapons refit and reloaded. The flight crews pitch in, and the work proceeds ahead of schedule, until flight leader May Gideon feels the solid deck beneath her lurch, and the hangar spin about her.
Oh. Whoa, hang on, May. I've got you. You all right?
Yeah, I guess. Ugh. Oddest feeling. Like someone had just stepped on my grave or something. I don't know. Ever felt like you weren't really attached to your body?
Well, I know Pops cleared you to fly and all, but you did just get out of the med bay. Go hit your bunk. We can finish up the maintenance.
You sure?
Yes. And actually sleep, all right? You look like death on a trencher.
Sheesh, LaRoche, you really know how to flatter a girl.
Most Holy Xavier, prelate of the Imperial Church, has been held prisoner in modified officers' quarters aboard the Argo since his life pod was rescued. He is once again being semi-interrogated by the ship's doctor, Pops McClendon.
Have you nothing better to do than torment me?
No, damn it. I want to know what you meant. Ah, Captain. Sorry, sir. Didn't hear you come in.
It's all right, Pops. Emperor Deathlock of Gulmon and Captain Harlock of the Arcadia. Gentlemen, this is Pops McClendon, our ship's doctor.
What is that traitor doing here?
He's our guest, Xavier. You are our prisoner.
I can speak for myself, Wildstar. Thank you. You will tell us, why is your church so determined to destroy the Earth?
I will tell you nothing, traitor. You betrayed my prince. I will see you burn in this world or the next.
This is getting us nowhere. We can see you're a man of great faith, priest. For what sin is our world being punished?
You know why, scum. I will not waste breath for your amusement or debase myself by bandying words with heretics. Foul servants of Tel'zati.
What was that?
Tel'zati? It cannot be a coincidence, can it?
What does that mean? You're both pale as ghosts.
Harlock, in Zordar's invasion 15 years ago, a sage from the dead world Tel'zart came to our aid. Her name was Trelaina. In fact, she ultimately defeated Zordar.
Wait. A woman defeated Prince Zordar? A woman from Tel'zart?
Yes. Princess Invidia was terrified of Trelaina. When Zordar's Comet Fortress attacked Tel'zart, Trelaina converted her entire world into pure energy and nearly obliterated him.
It was like watching a star being born.
I see. Priest, are you well? You look worse than them.
When the dead world rises, and the shamed fist of Goram gives birth to a new star, it will signal the arrival of the Great Comet, and the time of upheaval shall be upon us. The prophecy. The heretic's prophecy. Goram, preserve us. It is true.
Phew. Is that what you were hiding? Well, that's clear as mud.
In our language, the name Zordar means Fist of God.
The exiled Prince Zordar. Fist of God.
And the dead world was?
We thought it to be Earth. After all, only a year before the invasion, Deslok had all but annihilated it. Then, suddenly, it was flourishing again.
The Cosmo DNA.
But why the sudden rush? I mean, Earth has been theirs for 5 years now.
All I can tell you is, High Priest Enshon became obsessed with the idea nearly a year ago. We had thought the prophecy nullified by our conquest of your world, after the required decades' mourning for the fallen prince.
We should retire and plan our defense of Earth. If Jamorda is coming to stop this prophecy...
There is nothing you can do. There will be nowhere you can hide. The Comet Emperor is coming for your world.
In the quarters of Second Mate Thomas Vega, aboard the Arcadia...
A whole room to yourself, huh? All I've got is this small little bunk and a footlocker.
It's a pirate's life for me.
All right, Thomas, but what happened to you? I mean, we got a garbled report that your ship had been hit by pirates, but they said there were no survivors.
Well, that's half true. My ship was attacked, by the Arcadia, no less. But they only killed our guards and the crew who resisted. The rest of us were given a choice. We could try to go home, we could be dropped off at the nearest neutral colony, or we could join the crew.
Alright, so you joined up. But I mean, why didn't you even try and contact us?
I joined for the same reason I left home in the first place. There was no life for me on Earth. Richard was in the fleet, you were in the resistance. But what chances did I have back home, really? I wanted to try and contact you, Mike. I really did. I just didn't see how. I tried to pass a letter to you every time we'd run into a ship headed for Earth, but I guess they never got to you. I've had no luck reaching Richard either.
Thomas, Richard died about 4 months ago. His fighter was shot down in a raid on an Empire cargo ship.
I see. I sort of figured he... I mean, the EDF fleet has it pretty bad, I hear.
So, second mate, huh?
Yeah, it's not quite as grand as it sounds. We're pretty relaxed, actually. Though we'd crawl through 6 kinds of hell for the captain if he asked. Good man, our captain.
Yeah, ours as well. But, you know, you should come over to the Argo, man. We could always use some more good people.
No way, Mike. My place is here. Besides, I could never get used to calling my kid brother Sir. No, I got a feeling with you all out here, we're gonna be sticking closer to Earth anyway.
Alright, but tell me all the stories. Come on, where have you been? What have you seen? What's out there?
Core of the galaxy, mainly. After I joined the crew, we and a bunch of other free vessels joined the fight to defend the Galmans.
And you've been fighting ever since.
Yep, the Galmans had imp fleets coming out of their ears for a while. Most of them will be headed here now, I guess.
Alright, so what do you think everybody else's next step is?
I have no idea, little brother. No idea at all.
Adjourning to the captain's quarters, high atop the Argo's conn tower, Harlock, Wildstar, and Deslock planned strategy for the coming campaign.
There's no way we can deal with four Comet fortresses at the same time. It took the entire EDF fleet to soften up one, and even then, the fight was basically a draw.
I can have my entire fleet here within 2 months' time. Even a Comet fortress's Gavadic shield cannot survive a collision at warp. They will have to carefully approach Earth once they enter the system.
But remember, the rest of Garen's forces are still unaccounted for. They could be on top of us at any time.
I was trying not to think about that.
My point is, I do not think we can rely on a defensive Earth. We need to begin a planetary evacuation.
We had, but there weren't any warp-capable ships at hand. When last I talked to General Singleton, she had commandeered as many ships as possible to ferry civilians to off-world facilities in-system.
Both the Galman and pirate fleets are entirely warp-capable. We should get as much of your population out system as we can.
It's the logical course.
Wildstar, what are you thinking?
Just that... we know that Zordar's people feared Trelaina, right?
Very much so. I was imprisoned by them because they feared my quest for revenge would anger her.
And we know they have that prophecy about Telzardi. Telizard. Trelaina and Telizard, who led to their first defeat. It can't be coincidence. The answer is in the Telizard system.
But there's nothing there.
Yes, there is. After the destruction of the planet Telizard, the remains formed a small, white star. It's still there.
All well and good, but what do you intend to do exactly?
Take the Argo there. We'll find an answer, I'm sure of it.
What of Earth, Wildstar?
The Argo can engage in continuous warp to Telizard and be back with less than 2 weeks off the clock.
Then you should go as soon as your repairs are complete. Put me in touch with your General Singleton, and I will see to the defense of the planet.
And I will gather the remainder of my forces. I'll take only a few escort ships. The rest I'll place under your command, Harlock.
Thank you. I will need them.
Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough.
Just be here when we need you, Wildstar. This could get very ugly if we're caught short-handed.
Wildstar, 3 glasses, please.
Of course, Emperor Deslock.
Thank you. We share a common goal. The defeat of the Comet Empire, the restoration of our homes, and the security of our future. To those ends, I propose a toast. To our new alliance... may this day be remembered as long as our final victory shall be. Gentlemen, to freedom.
Freedom. Freedom.
Even as the new alliance is declared, the cruel malevolence of the Comet Empire grinds towards Earth, across the void of intergalactic space. Aboard the prime fortress of Emperor Jamorta, another council of war is underway.
And so we are arrayed. Once the fleet reaches our position, we will strike into the Milky Way and obliterate the planet Earth once and for all. I believe General Ilar... who dares interrupt us?
Forgive me, Your Majesty. Urgent news from the front.
Crown Prince Darkal, what has brought you here from the advanced fleet?
Grave tidings, Majesty. The Skorsh fleet has been destroyed. And General Garan has fallen in battle.
This is most troubling news, my son. Rise and tell us more of this.
As you command, Father. As the Council knows, the space cruiser Argo was concealed from us by the Earthers. It has once again taken the field against us. According to the report my flagship received from General Garan's forces, it ambushed High Priest Anshan as he neared Earth. Though nearly destroyed in the process, the Argo managed to wipe out the entire Skoosh fleet.
And Garon, your highness?
Per the Emperor's order, Garon divided his forces and made for Earth space. The final word we had from him was of the Skoosh fleet's defeat and the engagement of the Argo. Accompanying the report was telemetry from Garon's flagship, indicating warp fields forming all around his forces. He was ambushed. Then the signal simply stopped.
Highness, did the data say whose ships were warping in?
It did. A mix of pirate and Galman vessels.
Deslach. Our enemies gather.
Perhaps, Your Majesty. They feel they may have a chance to band together.
Perhaps, Admiral Khan. Perhaps. In any event, leave me for now. Prince Darkov, remain, my son. We have not seen each other in some time.
Your Majesty, how may I serve thee?
Your news is indeed grave. Still, I am glad you have brought it. Isri, come in and greet your brother.
Isri is here. She listens to your counsels?
Indeed. She has no voice within them, of course, but I find her insight most keen in its fashion. Ah, here she is.
Brother, it does my heart good to see you.
Sister, while your presence here surprises me, it is good to see you once more.
Isri, what were your impressions of Darkal's news and of the session itself?
If His Majesty commands my speech, I would say that it was most troubling.
Isri, the three of us are alone. You need not stand so on ceremony.
I see. Then I would add, the fact that all our enemies are gathered together seems, on the surface, to be a stroke of good fortune, as we will not need to hunt them down later. And yet, the nearer we draw to Earth, the more I fear what we shall find there.
Bah! Do not speak ill of our chances. No force in the universe can stand against the might of a single comet fortress, let alone all four of them.
No force has ever withstood our might, yes. Save the very world we are so bent on destroying.
You dare use that tone?
Enough! I will not see my children squabbling like babes. Zordar would weep at this display.
Zordar was exiled in disgrace, Father. Taking our revenge upon those who killed him is right and proper. But why can you not see him for what he was?
And what was he, Darkhall?
Forgive me, Father, but he was weak. His own child was the sign of Gorham's refusal of him.
You truly believe that? How sad that you have learned nothing in all this time.
Father.
Leave me, the pair of you. I wish to be alone.
Yes,
yes,
Father.
Your Majesty.
Ah, Zordar. Would that you were still here.
Aboard the Argo, Captain Derek Wildstar communicates with General Wendy Singleton, Commander of the Resistance, back on Earth.
I see. When can we expect Harlock's fleet in Earth space, then?
Tomorrow at the latest. His people will warp in as soon as they clear the Jupiter belt.
I don't suppose ordering you not to go would help.
General, all I can do is tell you that I'm sure we're doing the right thing. Even if I'm wrong, we'll only be out of the system for a short while.
All right, Derek, all right. Go. But get back here pronto. I have a feeling we're going to need the Argo sooner than we think.
We'll hurry, General.
Good luck, Starforce. Earth out.
Begin long-range warp prep. Destination, Telazart.
May Gideon, still feeling strange and exhausted, has been asleep in her bunk for some time, but one would hardly call it restful.
All hands, abandon ship! Abandon ship!
They failed. The Argo is gone, our allies are fled, and now the Emperor is coming.
Against my will, your world shatters!
You must stop them before it's too late. Before...
end of one story is often merely the first chapter in another. The Comet Emperor moves against the Earth with all the power at his command, while aboard the Argo, a ghostly voice fades, and the battle to free two galaxies looms just beyond the horizon. What is waiting for the Star Force at its destination? Is it the answer Wildstar hopes for, or merely another question? You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Episode 7, a Forward Momentum production, based on Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshinobu Nishizaki, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were R. Douglas Barbieri as Deslock, Joe Harrison as Derek Wildstar, Dylan Spencer as Captain Harlock, Sean Hill as Michael Vega, Nathan B. Butler as Xavier, Devlin James as Pops McClendon, Jason Rambos as Thomas Vega, Silas Carter as May Gideon, Alan Smithy as Philippe de la Roche, Jim Perry as Emperor Jamorta, Eric Olp as Prince Darkal, Natalie Van Sistine as Princess Isri, Jonathan Edward Dolnier as Admiral Khan, Sarah Moore as General Singleton, and Peg DeGrazia as Trelena. Also heard were Josh Lambright as Arcadia Control, and Andrew Seely and Matthew R. Smathers as the pirate crew members. This is Mark the Encaffeinated One Kilfoyle. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn from the original Uchu Senkan Yamato anime, composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda. Property-specific sound effects drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, available through Voyager Entertainment. Sea of Stars is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted materials herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended.
This program is dedicated to the memory of Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, composers of so much of the music of this universe.
Attention, attention, it's finally here, the first and only podcast dedicated to one of the most groundbreaking television series in history, MASH. Join the hosts of MASH 4077 Podcast, Kenny, Meds, and Al, as they discuss their thoughts episode by episode. They will also share with you some little-known behind-the-scenes information, trivia, and so much more. Find them on iTunes by searching MASH 4077 Podcast or online at www.mash4077.podbean.com.
Forward Momentum.
For those of you just joining us, a rogue boomer has appeared in the industrial area of southern Megatokyo. The AD police have responded and are about to move in. We take you now live to the scene.
First squad up. Second squad, assume right flank and cover.
It's moving! It's charging us!
Weapons free! Weapons free!
Go get some, you dumb robot! Yeah, your mama's a lawnmower!
It's no good! Our men are just bouncing off that thing!
Daniels! Daniels, report!
Crud, it's slaughtering us! Pull back! Pull back! Holy... They do exist.
Lightsabers? Take it down!
Forward Momentum presents... A new take on an anime cyberpunk classic, Bubblegum Crisis, the audio drama. Now casting at forwardmomentumproductions.com.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, forwardmomentumproductions.com. There you'll find links to all our audio dramas, as well as Forward March, our news and information podcast. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send us an email at forwardmomentumproductions@gmail.com, use the contact form on our website, or you can leave us a voicemail at North American Area Code 585-54-AUDIO. 585-54-AUDIO. Thank you once again for listening.